Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
The mic is hot, T-Rose. I said the mic is hot. It's the NBA Prospects Podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. Y'all know the deal. Humble, gracious host, Rob Bruin, T-Rose, we back. T-Rose, you look like your neck is getting a little skinnier now.
Yeah.
What's the regimen looking like?
Hey, man, I've been as consistent as possible joining this workout journey. And I say it gracefully. You know, your boy's down 10 pounds so far.
Ooh, okay.
I have almost 2 months I've been on it, and it's just been great, man. So look good, feel good. You know, everything else is going good, too. So, you know.
I feel that.
You know, just trying to continue the journey, man.
You look like everything is going well. Your skin is very clear, by the way.
Yeah, because you got on me last time. I had a couple pimps, and you was all on me because you was feeling good and your skin was good. So,
you know me, this is dark chocolate. This is it at its best. You know what I'm saying? this is all I'm saying. It's just the truth.
Hold on. This is gonna sound crazy, so don't take. What am I be calling you, bro?
Black Midnight. Yo, tell Tam Tam I love her, bro. Yo, it's so crazy because when we had met, all of her jokes, they just kept getting darker and darker. Yeah. I went from like midnight chocolate to darkness to midnight black. I'm like, Mom, why you keep making me so dark? I'm dark, but damn.
We come from a family of light people, you know what
clearly.
I mean? If you're lighter than me, you dark skinned. You could be a smidge darker than me. You dark skinned in our fam. So that's just some love. Just some love. That's Tam Tam,
as you call it. Tam Tam. Shout out to Tam. So today we're breaking down the Bucks and how the Suns have been struggling. They gave up a huge 20-point lead within game five. So now the Bucks are up 3-2 going back to Milwaukee. Black head coaches within the NBA are now finally catching traction. And not only are they coaching good teams, they're on teams that have potential to win. And we're talking Dame time, his future, where he's going to go. Is he going to stay in Portland? And hopefully join forces with Chauncey Billups. And we have so much more coming up. Now, we're going to start at the top, T-Rose. 3-2, Milwaukee. Wow. Me and you both agreed. Suns in six. I'm not even going to say what's your hugest takeaway because we have a lot to break down. So let's start with Chris Paul and work our way down from there.
I'll even double down. I said Suns in five. Like, I said Suns in five. Like, I'm not just through the roof. But when you're going up against someone who's been a two-time MVP, Chris Middleton coming into a groove, like, they shut that down. And just recapping game five here, I think that Chris Paul, man, I think that he needs to be a little bit more aggressive from the start. And you saw him begin to pick up the game going into the fourth quarter. He had a great game. I wouldn't say great, but he had a pretty solid game, 9 for 15 from the field. He finished with 21 points. But that energy needs to be compelled from the start. So it's great that Devin Booker had 40 points back-to-back games. It's great that, you know, he looks good individually. But you need that leadership and that productivity from Chris Paul. And he did a better job of cleaning up the ball. He only had one turnover. But I'm also looking down at the Suns bench. The Suns bench combined, all players of the three that played, I think they only had 15 points.
Yeah, that's weak.
Pat Connaughton had 14 by himself off the bench for Milwaukee. So definitely you have to step up. You just need more aggressiveness from the bench players of Phoenix, and you need Chris Paul to come out from the start. And with their backs being against the wall, now going to Milwaukee, in my opinion, Chris Paul needs at least 30 to 35 plus in this game, 8 to 10 assists. No more than two turnovers, and you still need that Devin Booker that you've seen the last two games for them to save themselves in a series and possibly move on to a game seven.
Everybody knows, and if they're not sure, I'll double down and tell everybody I'm not a Chris Paul fan.
We know.
I respect his game. But this will be the third time if they lose that he gave up a 2-0 in the series, right? Chris Paul is definitely the leader of this team. He's what they needed in terms to bridge the gap. Devin Booker had two 40-point games back-to-back. Chris Paul had 19. No, he had Yeah, he had 19 points in game three, and then game four, he had 10 points, and then game five, he had 21 and 11 assists. I need Chris Paul to give me more. The reason why I'm saying that is because the book giving us 40, that's keeping them in the game. But then being able to win the game, Chris Paul has to take over, even though he can rely on Devin Booker, right? This is going to be a legacy hit for me in terms of Chris Paul. And the reason why I'm saying that is because this isn't going to take away from his whole body of work, but everything that he's worked for is really based upon this moment. And it's just tough to see him go out in this way, because now he has, this is the best chance that I feel he's going to get. It doesn't get any more better than this. And then now, you know, he's trying to get a bigger bag. And I don't even know if, to be honest, we should give him that if he can't lock down on this season and win the chip. So with saying that, the MVP, if Phoenix can pull through, I think is up for grabs now, because it was originally Chris Paul for me, but now it's between him and D-Book. And at this present moment, D-Book is the reason where they're at. Chris Paul started hot, but then again, D-Book, the times that they've won, the time that he scored 40 points, they've lost both games. So Chris Paul has a lot more work to do, man. And it's going to be a bad way to go out. And I think that this game six is going to be very, very tough for the Suns to pull out because of the momentum. In basketball, we know that momentum means so much. And with them winning that game five in Phoenix, I think that was the toughest thing. In basketball, it's not a series until the road team wins a game.
Like we said last time we had this conversation, I think this was after game three, I told you that if Phoenix allowed Milwaukee to win that game four, mm-hmm. going back to Phoenix, that they would possibly lose this series. And as you can see, one thing you have to focus on is once Giannis has got it going, once Chris Middleton has got it going, once Jrue Holiday has found his bag, if you're the Phoenix Suns, now you're in a scary position. And to piggyback on what you said as far as Chris Paul's legacy, I do think that if he does not win this ring, he does take a big hit. But I still think he's still one of the all greats. When you look at some of the best point guards, I can name a few that are still great that don't have a ring. John Stockton comes to mind. Steve Nash comes to mind. So I think his whole body of work, like you said, will still be
respected,
be cherished and valued. But I think, like we all know, we play this game for a championship, and the opportunities and the chances that he's had to be there, I think that out of all of those, this has been his best chance. And to kind of see the way that he's been these last 2 to 3 games, it just kind of makes you wonder. And again, I've heard the skepticism of, is he healthy? Is he okay? Is he right? He's here. And if he's here,
tied up his shoes.
If he's playing, he got to bring it to the court. And I just expect Chris Paul just to be a little bit more aggressive, just a little bit more assertive. It's cool to sit back and watch D-Book get his.
It's not.
But being the star player, being Chris Paul, you have to assert yourself into the game. You can't wait to the fourth quarter to try and assert yourself offensively, because at that point, Milwaukee had already got going. Mm-hmm. So I think that that's going to be the key element. And the bench has to step it up. They have to. You need Cameron Payne to continue to be aggressive, penetrating the offense, scoring, kicking. You need Cam Johnson. We know that he can knock down the threes. He can get to the basket and finish. So you need that productivity from everybody. That's the thing. That's been their key element, being a team, the conglomerate, the team aspect that they have. That's been their key element. And I feel like they've kind of shied away from that and put everything into D-Book's hands these last few games. But if they want to stay in this series and force a game seven, you're going to need everybody to be hitting on all cylinders.
And here's the thing, too. As you can see, with D-Book doing all this scoring, they're not winning. They function better when Chris Paul, I'm not saying is the number one scorer, but is scoring over 30 and having D-Book pull it up at the end. And this is something else I want to double down on. You can still be great, at least to me, and still be a loser. Reason why I say loser is because you didn't get a ring. Now, I know a lot of people might not like that term, but you can still be great and not be a winner. The list goes on. Iverson, Charles Barkley, John Stockton, Karl Malone. I mean, the list goes on. And when we look at Chris Paul as a whole, this is what we need him to do for him to be in that conversation. I don't want to hear nothing about top five if he can't solidify this win. That's just how I feel. He cannot be in the conversation of top five if he doesn't get this win.
And I just want you guys to know, this is coming from someone who has Allen Iverson in his top five.
Absolutely. AI is in my top five.
He doesn't have a ring, Rob.
I don't care.
He doesn't have a ring, Rob. You know what I mean? But no, I agree. I think, you know, winning a ring, that puts you in that upper echelon of conversations when you talk about all-time greats. But I think when you talk position, point guard, I think he has to be in that conversation. When you just talk about the individual position, not the overall body of work, you have to put Chris Paul in that conversation. But again, like, this is a must-win championship for him. He knows it just like we know it. And I'm excited to see how he's going to come out and what they're going to do going into Game 6 in Milwaukee.
Now, the other thing we have to dive into as well, too, is not just Chris Paul's productivity. It's Jrue Holiday's defense. He's a bigger body. He's stronger, and he's younger. So with Chris Paul being 36, I think Jrue Holiday is tending to bother him a lot. I watched the compilation the other day of the amount of steals, the amount of pockets that Jrue Holiday has picked off players straight up. He's the type, he doesn't need help defense. He'll strip you straight up. So I think that that's really bothering Chris Paul a lot. I mean, I know he has some situation with his wrist or something like that, but Jrue Holiday is just a sensational defender. I believe he's been all defensive first team a few times at this point in time in his career. So even hats off to him, because I don't even want to make it seem like Chris Paul just isn't doing well. He's being affected by Jrue Holiday's defense, and we have to tip our hats to him on that, because 27 points and what, 13 assists from Jrue Holiday? And what's crazy is his stats are almost just like Chris Paul's, but it impacted the game more. So that's really how I'm looking at that.
And just to put a last point on that, and even in the games that Jrue Holiday may have struggled offensively, his has still been felt on
defensive. Exactly. And that's the difference.
And that's the difference in a lot of these games, especially when you compare Jrue Holiday and Chris Paul. Like, there's no way Chris Paul should be invisible. You know what I mean? Like,
I'm forgetting he's there sometimes.
No way Chris Paul should be not pushed into that offense, not pushed into that defense. Even if it's facilitating.
He has to touch the rock. He can't not touch the ball when they're in the possession. It can't happen. He has to.
So I think that's going to be the key thing, just making his presence felt and just being aggressive and focusing. I can't say not stressed, because this is one of the biggest moments, but for someone who's been on this stage, take a deep breath, understand what you need to do, and go out there and understand that we're on a mission and the job's not done.
And also, too, we got to give our flowers to Giannis, because I've been a huge critic of him as well. I've always said that his career looked like LeBron's high school baller's life mixtape, where he was at St. Vincent, St. Mary's, because Bron didn't have no moves back at high school. He was just dunking on everybody. I think Giannis is one of the first humble superstars that we're really seeing. He really believes in his team. He knows that there's no I in team, and he knows that he has no success without the right pieces around him. I think we're really starting to see Giannis step into his greatness. We've seen a few years where they've lost to the 76ers, they've lost to the Boston Celtics, and they've came up short so many different times. So this is great for Giannis, because he's had so many great moments already within the finals. He started playing game one. We didn't think he was going to be there, right? I mean, I thought he was going to be there because I knew they had to set the momentum. He had to be there. The chase down block, I believe that was on Mikal Bridges, sensational. And then the alley-oop from Jrue Holiday a couple nights ago off the steal was amazing. So it's great to see him. I believe Giannis is 26 now, 27, still fairly young, to see him stepping into his greatness, because this is now what we can say, even though he has two MVPs, I think he's solidified as a superstar, despite him winning this finals or not, I feel now.
And doing all that after the scary injury, the
hyperextension.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. For me, I was one who thought that maybe he may not be finishing out. I mean, just looking at the severity of what had happened with his leg, his reaction. So to see him come back as strong as he has, and not just come back, but literally dominate after coming back, I mean, he's playing like he won a ring, man. He's playing like he won it. He's playing like people have criticized him and diminished his legacy and what he can do based on him not having one. And now he's dove in full-fledged and he's on a mission to get one.
I actually think that this is going to be one of the finals that like labeled as one of the most bittersweet, because we want to see both superstars win. You want to see D-Book get his first one. You want to see Chris Paul get his first one. And of course you want to see Giannis get his first as well, but it's going to be at the expense of one or the other. So next game is tomorrow, 9 o'clock, I believe. Stay tuned in. And T-Rose, tell me what you think is going to be the one takeaway that they need to, either team will need to adjust to get their a guaranteed win on Tuesday night.
Well, if you're Milwaukee, you want to keep doing what you're doing. Just playing aggressive, sharing the ball, just playing as a team overall. Like, it's crazy to see. Like, Milwaukee's really getting off when you look
at. Nah, they're getting busy.
You looking at Chris Middleton, 27 to 30, Drew Holiday, 20, like that, they're balling. You got people coming off the bench, 15 to 20 points. Like, they're in a groove. And like we said earlier, like, just having that momentum coming into this game, like, all they need to do is continue to just play at a high level, share the ball, and just stay focused. And not to mention, they have the home crowd in their pocket. So that's going to be a great advantage for them as well. But if you're Phoenix, I mean, Chris Paul, we need you. Bench, we need y'all. Like, we just need all-around aggressiveness on the defensive end. Like, DeAndre Ayton, I need you to be a little bit more physical. I know it's a tough job guarding Giannis. I know he's a big body. I know he's strong. But I'm looking at you like you 7 foot. You big body. You can get aggressive too, dog. So it's a lot of factors that I think that goes into this next game. But if I had to put my finger on one, I need Chris Paul to get in his bag. I need him to force
deep in his bag.
Period. Period. Point blank. D-Book. You've been holding it down these last two games. Let's keep that energy going into this next one. And hey, y'all can have game seven at the crib.
When I look at it too, the two things that are needed from both teams, I'm gonna say Chris Paul for sure has to be more involved. We need a big game from him. Like, he, for them to win these next two games, he has to be in the 30 plus range. 10 plus. And like we said earlier, there's no possession where they come down the court where Chris Paul should not be facilitating and active within the possession. DeAndre Ayton and Chris Paul need to get back on the same page and get back to that pick and roll. Because when they're in that pick and roll offense, the offense is very, very hard to stop. And I'm going to be real. Mikal Bridges, Cam Johnson, and even Cam Payne, that bench only needs to give them a calm 30 points. Devin Booker doesn't need 30 points. 20 to 25, CP3 needs 30 plus, and DeAndre Ayton needs like 20 to 22, and I believe they'll be fine. And the key for the Milwaukee Bucks, for me, I'm going to stand down on Drew Holiday. He's a difference maker. I think that if he gives us another high 20-point game as well too, 7 to 8 assists, and stays defensively sound, there's no way that with the momentum they have shifting from Phoenix, which was the hardest place for them to win right now, there's no way that they don't win. So I want Phoenix to win so we have a game seven. But the way that things are looking, I have Phoenix in six. But it's looking like Milwaukee's going to wrap this up tomorrow night.
To be determined, man. I'm not giving up on the Valley. I can't do it. I'm not giving up on the Valley. And I'm definitely not giving up on CP3 and D-Book. So like you say, we'll see. Game six tomorrow. Make sure y'all tune in.
Absolutely. And when we look at the landscape of basketball now and the leadership that we've all been looking to, there are 7 new head coaches that will be in great positions, and not just, they're not on teams where they're shaky. These are positions where they have potential to win. We have Jamal Mosley at Orlando, Willie Green with New Orleans, Jason Kidd at Dallas, Wes Unseld Jr. for Washington, Nate McMillan for Atlanta, Chauncey Billups for Portland, and Ime Udoka for Boston Celtics. I think that this is going to be good, man. And I'm going to say out of the seven that I'm very happy to see is Chauncey Billups. I think Chauncey Billups is one of those players that underappreciated in a way because he's a quiet winner. They named him Mr. Big Shot for a reason. One of the best free throw shooters that I've ever seen in the game. Took down two of the biggest in the game at Kobe and Shaq in their primes. And there's no other better player to have running a team than Chauncey Billups because he can connect with Damian Lillard. Point guards have the ability to see the floor, know what all the positions on the court need. And I think that him and Damian Lillard, they have a similar demeanor and aura to them. They have that underdog feeling. They know what it feels to take grit and pound the pavement and do everything they have to get the win. So I'm hoping that Dame stays long enough so that Chauncey Billups can actually work with them this year.
That's a great pick, and big shout out to all the coaches who found themselves in successful positions or just having a job in the NBA in general. As you know, we young Black men, and seeing that happen is transcending. It's been a long time coming for this opportunity to happen. And big shout out to Chauncey. You know what he's done for my city of Detroit. Mm-hmm. So the last championship back in 2004. So I'm definitely happy to see him teaming up with your boy Dame. But for me, I would have to go with Mr. Willie Green. Down in New Orleans.
Sniper pick with Zion.
Detroit's very own. Cooley High, what's up? Like, I think what he's going to be able to do with a player like Zion, they still have Lonzo. They still have Brandon Ingram. He still has a young core of players that he can still work with and develop and build a culture down there that'll make it appeasing for other people to go down there and play alongside of those young players. So I think I'm excited to see what he's going to be able to do. And don't be surprised. And I don't know why, for me, I feel like I see in the near future. For some reason, I feel like LaMelo Ball might make his way down to New Orleans with this Willie Green trade now. Green now becoming the coach.
You think so?
I do. I think now, and obviously he's still going to be with Charlotte for a little while, but I think now if he's able to cultivate that culture and get someone like LaMelo down there, other young players, maybe some veteran leaderships as well, I think that New Orleans is a team you're going to look up in about 2 years, maybe even a year. They'll be a team that you will see in the second round playoffs. I mean, the West has been a little shaky. Mm-hmm. These last year too, so you never know, man. That could be a team you look up in 2 to 3 years, and they'll be a team that's making that push to the second round of the playoffs, maybe even Western Conference Finals. So obviously, that's to be determined. But I'm definitely excited to see what Willie Green's gonna be able to do down there in New Orleans.
It's so funny you say that because the New Orleans Pelicans are the Western version to me of the Charlotte Hornets. Both very, very young, have talent, and. It's so funny. I think I saw the same crystal ball you saw in terms of LaMelo sliding out to New Orleans. It would be great to see the Ball family and even get Jello to get out to New Orleans as well. Just the whole three. I want to see it. I'm going to be honest. I would be excited to see all three of them play. I think that would really be dope. But I want to end this segment on saying this. Everything that's going on in terms of the Black head coaches right now, I want to say personally that these are moments that we're deserving of. This is something that I feel Black coaches have earned because 75% of the NBA is Black, right? And not saying it in a way where they're entitled to this moment, but they work to be here. It's very different when it's easier to relate to someone when they look just like you and they've been in the same position as you, right? So you got situations where Jeff Van Gundy has to get out of New Orleans. He can't really relate to Lonzo Ball like that. What is he talking to Brandon Ingram about? You know what I'm saying? Like, what are the conversations really like? And then you have the key player in Zion Williamson, where his future looks a little shaky as well too. So I'm just saying that to say there are a lot of older and young African-American men that deserve to be in this position, and hats off to them because they're deserving, and we need more. We need more. We're going to continue to push this narrative because it's something that's needed for basketball. Now, when we look at Dame Dollar, there's been a lot of chatter about this man being unhappy. Things he said that he did not say. But what we do know is Dame wants to win. And I think he's come to the understanding that he can no longer do that in Portland.
When you're a player like Dame, who wants to win, who has the heart, who has the talent, I think it becomes a point in your career where you have to understand and know your worth and your value. And I think he's now at that point where he understands that he deserves more. And he's given his blood, his sweat, his tears to the organization in Portland. He wants to let know that some changes don't need to be made, then I have to now start exploring my options. And I'm not mad at him for that. I've been one who's advocated for him to explore other options because everything he's done for Portland will be appreciated. I still think that he'll possibly have a statue outside the stadium. I think everybody will still love him, but I think he has to now put himself in a position to figure out what's best for him. Because what we all understand and know is that these teams and organizations, they're going to focus on what's best for them. And in this position, to keep Dame and keep him happy would be in their best interest. If y'all can't do that, you have to understand and respect that he may have other options and may jump ship. So I'm looking to see where he's going to go. I know he wants to stay, but there's so many other places that would love to have him and appreciate him and would put him in a position to be a champion. So we have to see.
If there's one thing we know about Dame Dollar, he's a man of very few words, and he knows exactly what he wants. And he even shares with us what he needs from the team if he wants to stay in Portland next year.
We're in the playoffs every year. We got a great environment. We in a great city. You know, we have great fans. It's a lot of positives, you know, but I just think we've reached that point where it's like, okay, but it's not enough. Do we actually want to win it all? Right now, I'm not sure what I'm going to do. What I can say is my intentions and my heart has always been set on being in the Trailblazers uniform for my entire career.
It sounds good. But these stories just aren't leaking for no reason. So to push the narrative forward, I'm going to tell you like I told you in Taha last week. We're looking for the quiet, loud move. For him to slide to Boston. I'm looking for Dame and Jason Tatum to do some good work. Jaylen Brown, we love you. We appreciate you. But it might be time, young fella, to make that move. You could be the man in Portland. You know, y'all could rebuild things. You could get the Supermax out there. It might be better for you as a whole. But the reason why I think Boston is great because it's a winning culture. It's not as loud as like a New York or a L.A. And I feel like he can still create his own. And Jason Tatum, for damn sure, can hold his own. Nobody right now is going to tell me that you picking CJ McCollum before Jason Tatum. It's not happening. Young Uncle told us it's a big man's game, right? 6'9", 220. Jason Tatum, he's knocking on the door of, he's the leader of the new school. He's right there with the Trae Youngs and the John Morants and the Donovan Mitchells. He's in that conversation. So it'll be great to see Damian Lillard pair up with somebody that, even though is young, can carry the load from a scoring standpoint and knows what it is to be a superstar. And I think Jason Tatum is going to be exactly that.
I think that's a good pick. But, I mean, I know Dame. He wants to win right now. And going to Boston, that wouldn't happen.
Might take some time
because there's other pieces that need to be filled because we've seen him play along other players that are good at scoring that can be a go-to guy on certain nights playing along CJ McCollum. But we know to win a championship, you have to have a way bigger picture than that. So I think he wants to go somewhere that truly has potential. I wouldn't be surprised or hesitant to say the Knicks is a good place for him to go.
Knicks is a better team than the Celtics?
Where was the Celtics at this year?
They both made the playoffs.
Where were the Celtics
at? They both got bumped in the first round.
Where was the Celtics at this year, bro?
What you mean?
They stunk all year, bro.
They both made it to the same point.
It don't matter. It don't matter.
Troy, hold on.
Okay, making it in with two different – the matchups that the Knicks had to go up against compared to where Boston fell short at was way – Boston squalls in there. They squoze in there, man. Come on, Knicks was what, a top five team coming out the East, man. You get somebody
the
like
Celtics had the Brooklyn Nets in the first round.
Why? Why did they have Brooklyn in the first round?
They were the AFC.
Okay. Okay. So that's my point. So they squoze in there. They squoze in there. Wasn't enough. A team like the Knicks, Damian Lillard is all they're missing. Trust and believe.
They're going to have to trade the whole team to get him. Nobody's going to be left.
As long as you keep Julius Randle, we'll figure out.
He's going too.
No, absolutely not.
To get Dame, they're going to have to get rid of everybody. No. At least the Celtics have a few assets. A few? Marcus Smart, Jaylen Brown. They have some. In order for you to get Dame for the Knicks, Julius Randle's gone, RJ Barrett is gone, Obi Toppin is gone, Emmanuel Quickley. This is Dame Dollar we talking about. Dame is going to look up, and the jerseys are going to be empty. He might as well should have just stayed in Portland. And I don't want my man going through that. We don't need that. He's built for it, but we don't need that.
Say the Knicks, brother. I think the Knicks would be a good fit. Obviously, we can fall into what everybody else thinks as far as the Lakers and teaming up with LeBron. I know how much you would love that. I know that you would be all
on. No, I actually do not want him to play with LeBron.
To see him with LeBron.
I do not want to see him play with LeBron.
Well, surprise, surprise. That wasn't your answer.
Relax, KD. Relax, KD.
You see, KD got what he need. He don't need nobody else. You know what I mean? He have his next year, best believe. But
we heard that this year, too.
I really think the Knicks would be a good team, a good market for him to start fresh in. But I think that he's devoted and dedicated to Portland. And I think Portland is an organization that they'll try to do the best that they can to keep him in the Portland jersey, even if it's not for another 5 years or whatever. I think they're going to keep him in that jersey for at least another 2 years, and then from there allow him to figure out where he wants to go and where he wants to venture to.
Troy, so do you think that the Knicks have enough assets and willpower to get somebody else to play alongside Damian Lillard in New York? Are you saying that Julius Randle is enough?
You have to expect the unexpected. Nobody thought the Knicks would be where they are, would be able to achieve what they were this year. And now them being a team that people now do have to kind of pay attention to, the Eastern Conference is not as strong as it used to be. We all know that. I think Dame should put himself in a position to get out of the Western Conference, come somewhere in the East, a team that is solid and solidified. Yeah, they did get bounced in the first round. But last time I checked, coming in the last season, this past season, who had the Knicks even been in the playoffs?
I'm with you on that.
Okay. So I think getting someone like Dame that now catapults a team like the Knicks to make that push into the second, third round. We just saw the Atlanta Hawks go all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals, my brother. So if the Knicks are able to get a team.
Oh, you don't got to tell me. I told you they was going to be there.
If the Knicks are able to get a player like Damian Lillard, the sky's the limit, especially if they're able to keep a player like Julius Randle, possible draft picks, trades. You know, a lot of things happen. You always expect the unexpected.
Everything happens so fast.
Always. So I'm picking the Knicks if he leaves Portland, but that's a big if.
So apparently down in the A, they still out there hijacking cars, people out there riding on cinder blocks. And the kicker from the Atlanta Falcons, Young Ho Ko, is out here with no cleats because they stole his whip. The man said, keep the car. I just want my cleats back. This is a PSA. If you go to the A, don't drive anything nice because it's very hot out there right now.
And they don't care who you is. You can play for our team. We don't care.
That's what I'm saying. The disregard. You're going to steal. He's family. So you know what they're going to do to me and you.
Nah, look. I mean. But listen, I respect him. First and foremost, he's Jeep gang. So I respect that.
Jeep
but
gang.
Just look, keep the whip. Just give me the cleats back.
Yo, that's the line of the century.
First of all, I know you're getting paid, brother. You can get a pair of cleats. But those must be some special cleats, my guy. If he wants his cleats back,
give that man his cleats.
Give that man his cleats back. Keep the whip. Just make sure he get his cleats back. NFL season is about to start back soon. Training camps getting ready to come back. All of that. Let's make sure that my boy get his stuff back. But You got to be careful in the A, man. I mean, I thought it was just going crazy around All-Star weekend and all that time period.
But still not going.
It's still spicy, man. So make
still
sure
up.
Y'all whips. Make y'all get them tire locks on your cars. Mm-hmm. All of that. Be safe down there in the A for sure.
Now, this is a sports podcast. We love basketball specifically, but apparently twerking is a new sport because Megan Thee Stallion is on the front page of Sports Illustrated looking like a snack.
How do you get season tickets to that? How do you get season tickets to whatever Meg Thee Stallion's done to get Sports Illustrated come?
I'll tell you this. I did some research. She's all first team twerker.
Mm-hmm.
Three-time MVP.
I would agree.
And I think she's running up for another MVP this year, too, because she hot.
She got my vote.
I'm with you on that. Shout out to Meg, though. Cover is fire. Keep doing your thing, and shout out to you and Party. Y'all look like y'all are in blissful love right now.
And man, she's trendsetting, man. Like, changing the game, and literally what we're seeing her do is what we saw back in the day with Lil' Kim, but more. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. cover of Sports Illustrated.
Kim ain't have those knees either.
She didn't have the height. I don't even play sports, but I look so damn good. They gonna put me on Sports
Illustrated. Front cover. That's front. Dope.
Hey, man, she getting to the
front
bag.
And center.
She getting to the bag, and I love it. So big shout out to Meg. When the season starts for the twerking, please send the link so that we can get season tickets. Me and Rod will be there.
Absolutely, front and center. And listen, even if y'all want to pop up on the pod, mm-hmm. not saying y'all have to come on here and twerk, but we could talk about the all-star teams, how y'all got into twerking, and so much more.
Best twerkers, man. That's what we need. We'll have a podcast of the best twerkers. And if we can start with Meg, that'll be great. But if we got to start down at the totem pole, you know what I mean? Just let us know whoever's the best twerkers. Because we're going to start our own cover of Sports Illustrated. So the Believe Twerk Fest.
Oh, I got the camera.
The Believe Twerk Fest. T-shirts, contests. Let's chill.
Easy, big fella. Easy, y'all making my boy Troy get excited. He thinking about that cover.
No, that's a great cover. And big shout out mm-hmm. to her. She's holding it down, trendsetting. That has to be history. We need to do our research. How many people have actually been on the cover of Sports Illustrated that did not play
a sport?
We need to dive into that. We need to do some research. But big shout out to Meg.
Huge shout out to Meg. And as always, guys, continue to share, like, and subscribe. We want you guys to be in tune with us. Hit us in a DM. Let us know if you want to pop up on the podcast. We love to interact with you guys. And as always, as T-Rose would say, stay believing.
You're beautiful. It's true.
We out of here.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.